702, the Midday Report, Monday to Friday,
12 to 1 p.m.
Happy Friday. Welcome to the Midday Report with me, Khumuta Modise, in for Mandy Wiener. It's just gone 8 minutes past 12. That means it's time for us to get an update on the big stories of the day. Will the Speaker of Parliament, Nosiviwe Mapisa Nqakula, hand herself in for arrest and appear in court on corruption-linked charges? EWN reporters are all over the story, from her home to the court where she was expected to appear. We'll take a look at that Takatso deal, an apparent fallout between the Public Enterprises Minister, Praveen Gordhan, and the committee in Parliament. Will the SIU be investigating that deal? And the judge in the Senzo Meiwa trial apologizing for the remarks he made on black lawyers. It's also a Friday, so we're spreading good news with Brent Lindekew. That and more on the Midday Report.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
Quite the news day today. So much is happening. It is a Friday, the 22nd of March, 2024. Welcome to the Midday Report. My name is Khumuta Modise and I'm in for Mandy Wiener. Where do we start on a day like this? Of course, the story of the day, National Assembly Speaker Nosiviwe Mapisa Nqakula expected to make a court appearance. She didn't appear in the Specialized Commercial Crimes Court as we understood that she would. And EWN reporters are all over that story this morning. We have people camping at her home in Bruma on the East Rand. We also have a reporter stationed at the court in Pretoria where she was expected to appear. But this story has been moving so fast, and I've tried to drop a bit of a timeline of events to help you make sense of it so you know where we are, especially because many of us might be waking up or had woken up to this after a public holiday where you were offline yesterday. So what happened yesterday, right after the Madeira report, was that reports emerged that the Speaker of Parliament was set to hand herself in over millions of rand corruption and money laundering story or deal. We understood that the reports of that emerged, what, weeks ago in the Sunday Times? And of course, we understood that she was going to appear up after that search and seizure operation earlier in the week. Then it emerged that she was set to leave on a business trip yesterday for Geneva, Switzerland, which didn't happen because her lawyers then came out saying she would not be leaving anymore and she was ready to face the courts and face what was coming her way. And we expected her to hand herself in, especially after the lawyers said that she was ready to face it. But then we know that she hasn't appeared in court. What happened after that is that we got a statement from her saying that she was going to take special leave to, quote, protect the integrity of Parliament. She also promised to cooperate with law enforcement. And then a letter followed from the ANC where they had noted her special leave. This is after she actually took special leave and said, you know, this is for the integrity. The ANC noted this and then they said they would enforce their integrity and step aside policies, but then didn't go into any more detail about how exactly they would go about doing that. And that's what brought us to this morning where we were expecting her to hand herself in Pretoria Central. And that's where we find our reporter Alpha Ramoshwana. He's been stationed in Pretoria this morning and he's really been on the lookout for the Speaker of Parliament. Alpha, thank you so much for joining us. You're in Pretoria Central. Just walk us through what happened this morning. You were at the police station and I understand the Speaker did not show up.
Good afternoon. Yes, Muto, we've been stationed outside the Specialized Commercial Crimes Court in the inner city of Pretoria, and we've also been moving to the Pretoria Central Police Station, which is just a few minutes away from this place. Of course, she was expected to appear at this court after her arrest, which of course didn't happen, and we do know that she's facing charges of corruption and money laundering amounting to more than 2.3 million rand. And we're here today, of course, there's large media presence trying to capture the moment that she walked into this court. But from what I've read on the, urgent application that she's filed interdicting her imminent arrest, it's clear that there's no intention for her to come and hand herself over today or even appear at the Specialized Commercial Court today. In fact, from what I'm seeing in those papers, Fomoto, since everything, might actually happen next week, and she's basically not intending to hand herself over here from what I'm reading. But Mutu, we're here either way to just see if anything will happen, to see if, she'll actually appear today, or she'll actually come to court today.
So I know you moved from the commercial crime, or you moved from the police station to the commercial crimes court. What's been happening at the court? Any movement there? Any vehicles that look like they may be linked to the speaker?
No vehicles at all. In fact, we've just been looking out for, you know, sort of VIP protection, motorcades or an entourage, or just a large police contingency here. But there's been no sign of that. I mean, there were a few police officers who would just walk by or park their cars just near the court. But, you know, there was no sign of anyone who'd come here to our company. So it's been a little bit mum, you know, this morning. But from our conversations with certain people at the police station, there were signs of lawyers there at the police station. But here at the court, even the people who work here told us that there's been no sign of the speaker or a legal representative. So we do know that she's filed an urgent application to interdict her arrest, you know, with the Pretoria High Court, in fact. So if anything is to happen, it seems like it will go over. It will go to the Pretoria High Court, which is just 5 minutes away from the Specialized Commercial Court.
All right, Alpha Ramoshwana, EWN reporter stationed outside the Commercial Crimes Court in Pretoria. I must remind you that we're taking your WhatsApps. If you're in Johannesburg, it's 072-702-1702. In Cape Town, it's 072-567-1567. Send us your voice notes on this story and whatever else follows on the Midday Report. Let's move now to Veronica Makhwadi, who's been outside the home, or the speaker's home in Bruma. She's been there since the early morning, and there has been movement around there. Veronica, just tell us, I mean, is the speaker there? Because now we're hearing that she's not going to be going to the Commercial Crimes Court.
Thank you very much, Homoto. You asked our colleague, Alpha Ramoshwana, earlier about the kind of vehicles that are stationed out there. And what I can tell you, a big evidence here that shows that there is quite a lot of movement at the home of the speakers is her protection service vehicles that have gathered here. I can tell you right now, Homoto, that there's a tranquil sense over here in her home in Bruma, but there is definitely a presence of people being inside. In fact, while we've been camping outside here, we've been seeing a lot of movement, be it security personnel. There was also a spotted guest that we saw, who was Jared Watson. That is the nephew of the controversial Bosasa boss, Gavin Watson. We managed to doorstop him very, very quickly and ask him, of course, to try and confirm for us if or not the minister is inside the presence in the home. He did not say any much. He didn't really disclose a lot. But what he did say is that there is calm in the home. In fact, he had come here to see the speaker's husband, Charles Magusa, in regards to a book that they are working on together. So we are getting confirmation that there are definitely people within the home. And you'll understand, of course, that the Watson family does share quite a close relationship with the speaker and her family as well.
Sure. Okay. So he said this is just about the book, and he just happened to rock up on this day?
Absolutely. That's what we got from him. But of course, Homoza, that didn't stop Eyewitness News from asking, of course, what he takes of the matter in regards to what has unfolded today. He has, of course, said exactly what the speaker has mentioned, that this is a trial by media and that the case that has been put forward is baseless. As we stand and we wait, Homoza, we are hoping, of course, to get some sort of a representative to come and speak to us. And other than that, Homoza, what I can tell you is there is definitely some movement here. And if the speaker is indeed home, she is safe and sound.
Wow, okay. Veronica Makhwadi, EWN reporter out at the home of National Assembly Speaker Nosiviwa Mabisa Ngakula. That's in Bruma on the East Rand. And it's interesting that Jared Watson happens to be there and happens to stop by on such an eventful day where media is camping outside the speaker's home just to talk about the book that he happens to be working on with the speaker's husband. I don't know. What do you make of that? Very interesting things happening there in Bruma.
702, The Midday Report, Monday to Friday,
12 to 1 p.m.
So I want us to stay on the story because there's a second part of the story that's playing out in Parliament. And of course, now the question is, what's going to happen? The Speaker on special leave. We understand the Deputy Speaker is unwell. EWN parliamentary reporter Lindsay Dentlinger is out there, and she has the latest on that. Lindsay, there's a lot that's happening on the parliamentary front. First, on the special leave, but also we understand that the DA is also making moves there. What's going on?
Good afternoon, Khamot. So, well, this has been coming along since the beginning of the month, since the Sunday Times wrote this article about the speaker. The speaker has incidentally not been in Cape Town for much of the month of March. When the story broke, she was on her way to Paris for a women's speakers forum. From there, she went directly to New York for a UN engagement. And as you pointed out earlier, last night she was due to go to the Interparliamentary Union. So we have not seen her around or presiding over business. But ever since the story broke, opposition parties have been calling for her to step down. 2 days ago, the DA said that if she didn't do so, and in light of claims that she was going to be arrested, they would table an official motion of no confidence in her. And today, they've confirmed that they have indeed done so, and they would be lobbying political parties to support that motion of no confidence. Khamotso then also, as further to what Veronica is telling you outside the speaker's home, her office here in Cape Town gives us the assurance that she is indeed behind those walls in Bruma, that she is at home with her family, and confirming that she has now lodged papers in the Gauteng High Court to challenge this imminent arrest, and essentially crying foul that most of this information has been leaked to the media, she says, and that she is not privy to the allegations or possibly the charges that she's facing, and demanding that the police hand over the file so that she can properly defend herself. As far as her taking special leave, the DA said she is not allowed to take such an unequivocal decision. The National Assembly House rules require that a sitting of Parliament agree to you taking special leave. You can only take special leave as an MP but with the permission of your party. So that is also another sticking point. But as we know, the parliamentary term is fast running to an end. So how this is all going to play out in the next week will be quite interesting.
So when do we expect that motion of no confidence to be heard?
Well, what normally happens in such instances, you have pointed out that because this is something levelled against the speaker, and as in the case with the ethics complaints on the same matter levelled against her, it gets handled by the deputy speaker, Letitia Tsinordi. And so he will have to consider whether this motion is in order. And what normally happens is it goes to the Parliamentary Programme Committee, who will then schedule a date and a time for it to be heard. They only meet once a week, Khamotso, and that's usually on a Thursday. They also haven't been meeting because the speaker chairs that meeting and she's not been around. And so it's unclear at this point how they will schedule something like this. The DA, of course, insistent that it's as a matter of principle, even if some might argue, well, the term is coming to an end, what does it matter? As a matter of principle, they want this motion to be debated before the end of the parliamentary term.
Yeah. And what's at the crux of the urgent, the interdict that she's brought before court? Because the sense that I'm getting is that she's saying she's been subjected to a trial by media, and because of that, she should be allowed to see the docket. But she also says the state has no case. And then she makes a case about her dignity and reputation. Is that a summary of what's in those papers?
Yes, I have it up on my computer right now. It's about a 27-page affidavit that she has deposed, essentially detailing the timeline of when she was first contacted by investigating officers. She says she was on her way to Dubai at the time, and maintaining that she didn't really know and still doesn't know what these charges against her are. She says that this affidavit in which she is allegedly been named, that is a single source, and she calls into question the person who deposed that affidavit, who herself was at some point charged with corruption, and that is the defense contractor who says the speaker said she paid the speaker bribes during her tenure as the defense minister. So essentially she's questioning process, she's questioning how legal it was for them to raid her home on Tuesday. She speaks about her husband letting them into her home in good faith, and authorities not waiting for her lawyer to be present during that search and seizure, which we know from her office, she has previously told us, lasted 5 hours. And so they're really questioning the process of all of this. Also noting that the arrest warrant was issued some 2 weeks ago already, we understand from her affidavit. And really, as you pointed out, Khomotso saying she deserves to be privy to the information of the state, given that the media appears to be partly privy to it. And she has a right to defend herself, and she needs to know what that information is that the state says they have against her.
All right, we're going to leave it there. That's Lindsay Dendlinger, EWN parliamentary reporter out there following this story from Parliament, because, of course, this is the other part of the story that's playing out. But I want to bring in a political analyst, Sandile Swana, to help us make sense of what this means politically. Mr. Swana, maybe just talk us through the significance of this in an election year. I mean, if you read the court papers by the Speaker, she speaks about how the state seems to be expediting this case because it's an election year. She says none of this would be happening, at least at the speed that it's been happening, if it wasn't, or if we didn't have elections in the next few months.
Thank you so much,
Khomotso. It's Khomotso.
Yeah, thank you. And good day to the listeners of 702. The issue of an election year, sincerely, it's neither here nor there, because the ANC has involved itself from fiasco to fiasco. For instance, in the build-up to the 2009 election, they terminated Mbeki as president, which was unprecedented for a president not to finish his term of office in South Africa. In the build-up to the 2019 election, the ANC itself, not the media, not the police, not anybody else, terminated Jacob Zuma from office before the end of term. Now, it so happens that one way or the other, the Speaker of Parliament has a case, and this case has been brewing since 2020. And apparently, according to Sibanye Lomisa, they themselves, the people of the ANC, have been delaying the actual arrest of Mapisa Ngakula, wanting it to coincide somehow with the post-election period by themselves. But her actions, to the extent that they may have impact on elections, they should have known that before demanding any bribe from anybody.
And what do you make of the ANC's statement? I mean, they've noted the fact that the Speaker has gone on special leave, but then they also say they'll enforce their integrity and step-aside policies based on the facts that arise. And I think that's the important part. They're not saying they'll do it, they'll definitely do it. They say based on the facts that arise. This does seem like they're waiting for something to happen before step-aside kicks in.
Yes, well, in any event, something happened, in the sense that from the published information, Nosiviwe Mapisa Ngakula has announced that she is actually taking leave from the activities of the ANC, which would then mean that things that are related to the elections and what have you and what have you, she'll not be participating, she'll not be attending any official events and all sorts of things. She's going to be in isolation. So that idea of a step aside on her own volition is also something that the ANC recognizes. So it's neither here nor there. I mean, it's 8-10 weeks before the actual election now. Mm-hmm. So this is very academic.
Political analyst Sandile Swana, they're helping us make sense of what's going on politically with the Speaker of Parliament. Of course, she did not appear in court as we expected her to, and it doesn't seem like she's going to make a court appearance anytime soon.
702. Let's walk the talk.
This is the Midday Report on 702. I'm Khomotso Modise in for Mandy Wiener, and it's quite an eventful day. The story of the day really being the Speaker of Parliament, Nosiviwe Mapisa Ngakula, expected to appear in court, but now we're getting a sense that she's not going to make it to court. Someone here on the SMS line saying, scandalous to even suspect any wrongdoing when the organization is so squeaky clean. And yeah, listen, I mean, so many people really asking, you know, when will it end? When does it end? Of course, Mapisa Ngakula saying that this is all about this being an election year. She's also spoken about how her wig was taken during a search and seizure operation. That search and seizure that we saw this week, for some reason, they took her wig. And she says, this proves nothing except the fact that I wear a wig. Yeah, a lot's going to unfold on that front. We are expecting to see that motion of no confidence brought by the DA in Parliament. And we wait to see when the Speaker will actually appear in the Specialized Commercial Crimes Court.
702.
WhatsApp us on 072-702-1702.
Hi. Holomisa and John Stasis, and he must not play dead. One, it's during the month of human rights. The Speaker, Mayor Mapisa Ngakula, deserves a fair trial if there is anything or issue. Then to go on trying to score political points, really, it's just disgusting. These two men who really, I mean, Holomisa has been through so much in terms of apartheid. Steenhuisen has been the beneficiary of apartheid. Then they come in for a woman, a speaker, who has her integrity and have fairness also in terms of trial. Media, just be careful. This is time for politics and point scoring.
Hi, good day, Khumutsa. You know, we are not surprised. This ANC, just another WhatsApp group. She's in the same WhatsApp group, whereby they'll use tactics with the help of their lawyers just to delay this thing. So it shouldn't be a surprise at all. Pat here from Spayview.
Good day, Komazo. Thank you so much for standing in for Mendewin. I think this soap of Mapisa Ngakula is quite simple. The NPA is captured. They are battling under pressure. They should have arrested this woman long time in January. As reports have indicated that they stopped arresting in January owing to the fact that the ANC was launching its January 8th statement. Now they can't arrest this woman because of media reports. Are they working as NPA or as media reports? They must go and arrest this woman and stop this nonsense. Where is Andrea Johnson?
You know, I agree that she deserves a fair trial. And of course, that is enshrined in our constitution. It's important that she's given a fair trial. And we understand that she's innocent until she's proven guilty. But I'm not sure when, you know, her lawyers are basically arguing that she should not appear in court or should not be arrested until they've given her the docket of her case. That's not how things work in this country. We aren't handed over the docket and, you know, the state's case is opened before you make an appearance. And having read those papers, it really sounds like she doesn't want to be in the dock. It sounds like she doesn't want to, you know, be photographed while in the dock, especially because we understand that the NPA is not opposing bail. So this isn't like she would be arrested and be held or kept behind bars for however long until another court appearance. She's merely making an appearance and it's being put on record in court that she now stands accused. And so I'm not sure when it comes to that. Nobody's saying she shouldn't be given a fair trial. I actually agree with you, but I also don't think that the special treatment is right and fair on all of us.
702, the Midday Report, Monday to Friday,
12 to 1 p.m.
So, you know, if I told you that yesterday was Human Rights Day, you wouldn't believe it if you were judging by all the news stories that were coming through. I mean, we saw so much happening in the latter part of the day. And another story that really shocked all of us, really, is the reports, or other reports, on the death of Marcus Uyster. Of course, when that came out, everyone's been asking what's going on, what happened. We understand that he died by suicide yesterday. And of course, he's the alleged mastermind of the Steinhoff scandal and the Steinhoff saga. And a lot's been happening in terms of reaction. I mean, we know that he's been facing a lot of charges, and the latest really being how he was ordered to turn himself into law enforcement the day after being hit with an administrative penalty of 475 million rand by the Financial Sector Conduct Authority. Now, Bongani Bingwa on Breakfast had a conversation earlier on with Rob Rose. Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
right until the end. We understand, for example, from German authorities that he failed to present himself. He was still blaming others, not taking any accountability or any responsibility for the mess.
Yes, absolutely. Since he went to Parliament in 2018, in September 2018, he stuck to the same structure, which was that essentially it was one of his business rivals who concocted the story to make him look bad. And there was nothing wrong. There were no accounting irregularities. There was absolutely nothing wrong with the standoff that he left. And that's the story he stuck to. And it's the story that he repeated, even with the regulator, the FSCA, in the papers for that last action where they eventually fined him $475 million.
I mean, those denials, did he believe them? Was it your sense that this was somebody whose grasp on reality was a little tenuous, to be kind?
Well, I mean, you could potentially say that, but you could also say it might have been a legal strategy, which is not to admit anything. It's very much like the Zuma-Stalingrad defense, in that you don't concede any point, make them prove every single last aspect of it. So that seemed to me to be more in line with what he was thinking, defend yourself at every turn. Certainly that was the indication that the earlier cases he was involved in suggest. Because, for example, when he was asked to appear in Parliament, he fought that massively, and then ultimately he lost that and he appeared in Parliament and spoke to Parliament. But there was always every indication that he was going to fight every quarter of it, which is why yesterday's news was quite alarming.
I asked the question because, of course, as you know, I mean, you can't lie about your company's past performance. You certainly can't predict future profits or earnings based on information you know is not true. That's what the Financial Market Act prohibits. And because there was no substance, eventually we found out to what he was selling, how could he have stuck with that message? How could he have insisted he knew nothing?
Well, exactly. I mean, it was amazing that he was able to. You say you can't lie like that in financials, but actually it turns out you can if you're smart. And actually you can dupe the auditors, you can dupe your board. I mean, it was a staggering con over many years. So it was actually quite astounding. But I think that, you know, ultimately he was about to get arrested and he was about to actually face his day in court. And I think the criminal court is one of those places where you would have to have face the reality of what you've done, and it might have become a lot harder to argue. So it seems like that might have been, you know, I suppose a turning point for Marcus Yastrinus. Up till now, he's been able to fight against the various court orders from the regulator and various civil cases. But I think the criminal trial would have been a different forum. It would have been a lot harder to maintain that lie.
Of course, that was a conversation this morning between Bongani Bingwa and financial journalist and author of Steinheist, that's Rob Rose. I'm actually seeing now on Twitter, Andy Makinana, a journalist for the Sunday Times, breaking a story about how the Hawks and the NPA confirming that the warrants of arrest for Marcus Huerster and Stefanus Ioannis Grobler regarding Steinhoff were issued on Wednesday, and the duo were expected to hand themselves over to police and appear in court today. And so it seems the decision to, you know, for the suicide, I should say, was very calculated. It seems this was before a major event, because after how many years was Marcus Huerster and Stefanus Grobler expected to appear in the dock?
702.
Let's walk the talk.
All right, this is the Midday Report. My name is Khomotso Modise, and I'm in for Mandy Wiener. We are taking your WhatsApps, and that WhatsApp number is 072-702-1702. That's if you're in Joburg. If you are listening in Cape Town, it's 072-567-1567. Quite a bit that we're covering. A lot of the stories, or a lot of the content today, is around the Speaker of Parliament, Nosiviwe Mapisa Ngakula. But something else that's playing out in Parliament is that Takatso consortium deal. Of course, we saw last week Public Enterprises Minister Pravin Gordhan announcing that they are going to be, or that deal has been called off amid loud outcry. And, you know, that we thought that would be the end of it. Of course, now we know that the Public Enterprises Portfolio Committee has called for an investigation by the SIU into the Takatso consortium deal. This has caused a lot of friction friction between the committee and Public Enterprises Minister Praveen Gordhan. And someone here who's going to help us make sense of that is Babalo Ndenze, EWN parliamentary reporter. Babalo, do we know at this stage whether there is going to be an investigation by the SIU into this deal?
Hi, Khomotso. Yes, indeed. We are not sure at this stage whether there will be an investigation by the SIU. We know that the National Assembly or the House rises next week, Friday on the 29th. And anything that doesn't happen before then will lapse because, you know, the current parliament will be dissolved and awaiting the seventh parliament after the elections. So they are in a race against time to make this official request, and it will go via the Speaker's office. And, you know, now that the Speaker, you know, has taken a leave of absence, that the matter will still be processed in her office, maybe by her deputy, Leshika Senodi, as acting Speaker. But that hasn't happened yet. And the committee, though, even though they have agreed unanimously to refer this matter, it's still in that process. And we know that, you know, the deal might be off, but it's far from over by the looks of things. Gordhan and the committee are still at loggerheads. And, you know, the committee is insisting on going this SIU route or any other law enforcement agency that is relevant to investigate the matter. And they say they want to understand the reasons behind Rand Merchant Bank's desire to be released from its role as the initial transaction advisor. They're not satisfied with the explanations from the minister. Mm-hmm. And members of the committee say that, you know, in future, Parliament needs to play a more integral role when it comes to deals of this magnitude that involve an SOE. But at the moment, no feedback from the committee as well. But the committee did issue a statement earlier this week, you know, basically explaining its intention. But at the moment, Khomotso, we're just still waiting for the Speaker's office and the committee to give us, you know, an idea of where this request is at the moment.
Yeah. Is this investigation that's been called by the committee, is it an indication that they think there might have been a dodgy dealing looming here?
Well, the committee chairperson, Kaya Makgaigwa, you know, he said at this and on Tuesday this week at the Public Enterprises Committee meeting that, you know, they can't say for sure as the committee that nothing untoward happened in the deal. The minister says the complete opposite in his correspondence to Makgaigwa and the committee. He insisted nothing untoward happened in the deal and that the committee has been provided with, you know, all the paperwork and have given an explanation on the process followed. And even the committee legal advisor, advocate Dejana, who also briefed the committee a few weeks ago, did say that, you know, as far as he's concerned and all the documents that he's used or looked at, that doesn't seem to be anything that points towards corruption. And the minister does also inform the committee of this in his correspondence to Makgaigwa. And he also shares other documents that he says were signed by the former DG, basically giving RMB selection the green light and the Thakazo deal basically the green light. But you know Khatazo Tlhakudi, the former DG, who is one of the main, you know, players in this matter, denies that he ever signed any memorandums that confirmed the deal. And he's also written to the Speaker saying that, you know, what was said at that previous meeting about him is not entirely true. So this matter, it looks like it's far from over, Khomotso. And it's also in the letter to the committee, Minister Gordhan also seems to imply that, you know, the information or the details are still under wraps or still confidential. And this is one of the things that the committee is unhappy about. And this is also one of the things that they want to be looked at more closely, as well as the alleged forged signature of the former DG.
All right, that's Babalo Ndenze, EWN parliamentary reporter, keeping an eye on that story. It's going to be interesting to see if the SIU does end up investigating that deal, that Thakazo consortium deal.
702, the Midday Report, Monday to Friday,
12 to 1 p.m.
Let's move to this story now. In the Pretoria High Court, the Senzo Meyiwa trial continues, and something interesting happened this morning. So what we knew was that the Black Lawyers Association had taken issue with the comments that were made by the presiding judge in this matter. That's Judge Latama Kwatleng. He said on Wednesday, he spoke about while he was really reprimanding the lawyers that were in court, and a specific lawyer who wasn't in court, the representative for the first accused, he then questioned whether this is how Black lawyers behave behave or conduct themselves. He also went on, you know, to speak about how the judge now must laugh or smile because the lawyer is black. Now, of course, the BLA came out calling for a meeting with Judge Mokgotleng, and we were expecting to hear some sort of a response from Judge Mokgotleng this morning as the matter resumed. Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
I admit that my comments could be interpreted as intemperate, ill-advised, ill-considered, and offensive. And if that is the perception of the accused and their representatives and persons outside, even the public and the BLA, then I want to state that I unreservedly, without any conditions, withdraw the comments which I made in that Wednesday afternoon because of the events that played out here. And also, if I caused any offense to any person or organization, I also unreservedly apologize. And I also apologize also to the judge president of this division, Mr. Mlambu, and the DJP of this division, Mr. Aubrey, the Dwaba, and if needs be also the Chief Justice, the judiciary, my colleagues, and even the Judicial Service Commission.
That's Judge Ratha Mokgotleng there apologizing for his comments. Now, it's important to note that the lawyer who was absent on Wednesday, was it Wednesday? Yes, it was Wednesday. The lawyer who wasn't there, the lawyer for the first accused, his name is Thulani Mgomezulu, he also apologized, telling the court that he had to attend to another matter, and it was important for him to attend to the matter because he hasn't been paid in months. And so he's got bills. He says he needs to pay school fees, and he also needs to pay his bond. Now, of course, that trial continues in the Pretoria High Court.
Sports Wrap with Tholakele Mganga.
Tholakele Mganga. Hi. It's a quiet weekend that we're expecting, right? No club football.
There's no club football, but there is some international football fixtures to look forward to. We know last night that Bafana Bafana played against Andorra. It was a surprise result if you consider the fact that Andorra hadn't won a game since 2022 and were on a high of AFCON. But with this being friendlies, Hugo Bush won't be too critical of his side. Of course, they've got the clash against Algeria coming on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But then more importantly, they've got the World Cup qualifiers coming up in June, and they're playing Nigeria in those qualifiers. So he'll be hoping that his side within that time will, all the little mistakes that they have now, they'll learn to correct by the time June comes about.
But they better.
They don't have a choice. The South Africans are supporting them,
yes,
now. So Bafana are our main attraction at the moment. For people that are interested in Euro 2024 qualifiers, we know that we're into the final stage to determining the teams that will be involved in the competition that takes place in June and July. Wales are just one of the big names that are going into that playoff that will be taking place on Tuesday.
Sure.
And then people that are interested in rugby, the United Rugby Championship comes back. We know for the European teams, they took a bit of a break in order to accommodate the Six Nations. But for the South African sides that are in action this weekend, we've got Dragons up against the Bulls, Canucks taking on the Lions, the Stormers are at home to Edinburgh, while Sharks take on Ulster. The Sharks, it's been a very disappointing campaign for them. 11 games in, they only have one win. For a team that have invested so much into their franchise, we know the likes of Eben Etzebeth applying their trade there, but they have really struggled this season. For the Bulls, they're pretty happy with where they are. They're second on the log. They look certain to advance to the semifinals. So that will be exciting times for them. And for people that like fast cars traveling around in circles, the Australian Grand Prix. Yes, that is taking place this weekend. Once again, it's another week of off-the-track drama that has been dominating it. Susie Wolf, who's the wife of Mercedes team principal Toto Wolf, she's also head of F1 Academies, she's taken legal action against F1's governing body, the FIA. That's because last year they opened an inquiry into her association with her husband and whether or not there'd be a conflict of interest. That inquiry was dropped just 2 days later, but she's saying, our marriage is already something that's well established. Why did all of a sudden they think something was wrong going into the situation. So she's taken legal action. A lot of drivers, a lot of team principals have come out to say F1 actually lacks transparency, where they'll do all of these things, but they won't explain to the drivers or the team principals what the actions are. Okay. So this season has really been a season of fracture so far, because we know with Red Bull and the whole Christian Horner debacle, that's been one aspect of their season that has been dominating the headlines. Now F1 are also in the spotlight for something they probably don't want.
All right, so you've got some stuff to keep yourself busy with if you're into sports. That's Tholakele Mnganga with the sports wrap.
Good things.
Good things.
With Brent Lindeke.
That's right. It is a Friday, so it's time for us to get a sense of some good things that we can look out to. We've got a really pleasant voice note from Brent. Let's take a listen.
Hey, what's happening, 702 and Cape Talk family? I'm back for another Feel Good Friday with more good things stories for you. First up, a viral TikTok has brought South Africans together over a love and longing for our country. Sharing their homesick feels, they've reminded us all just how special South Africa is and how much is worth fighting for. Shared by Brandon Hay, the TikTok video showcases him in the UK against the backdrop of Joe's song, End of Beginning, a song that has had people all over the internet deeply in their feels as they long for the places and parts of their lives they felt they most belonged. With over 24,000 likes, many other expats deeply resonated with the sentiment. You can see that video on goodthingsguide.com. During a visit home for a funeral, Carol unexpectedly became a hero when she rescued three neglected dogs from her neighbor's care. Upon hearing the distressed cries of two puppies during a rainstorm, Carol discovered them outside, cold and wet. She let them sleep in her bed that night and the very next day reunited them with their very thin mother from a nearby house. Despite confronting her neighbor about the poor condition of the dogs, Carol was met with indifference and even cruelty when the neighbor burned one puppy with a cigarette. Distressed by the situation, Carol called her sister for help and took the dogs to the SPCA in Louis Trichot, a 2-hour drive away. Upon returning home, Carol was confronted by the police, but her quick thinking and determination ensured that the SPCA validated her actions, ultimately leading to the neighbor being banned from ever owning dogs again, and Carol was cleared of any wrongdoing. This South African's bravery and compassion not only saved the lives of the three dogs, but also brought justice to their neglectful owner. Lastly, Aline Milne shared the tale of how Klaas, a cleaner at the Cape Town City Hall, found a lost phone and reunited it with its owner. This act went on to inspire a second act of kindness. On the 16th and 17th of March, Aline participated as a choir member in two Last Night at the Proms events at the Cape Town City Hall. After the first concert, a friend lost her brand new mobile phone at the venue, causing concern as it contained valuable personal data. Thanks to the efforts of Klaas, a diligent cleaner at the City Hall, the phone was found and returned. Despite declining a reward, Klaas's act of honesty inspired a chain of goodwill. In gratitude, the phone's owner, Agnes, later donated groceries to a needy family, highlighting the ripple effect of Klaas's honesty and kindness. That's it! You can catch these stories and many, many more on goodthingsguy.com. Until next week, as I say, always wishing you only good things.
Yeah, we hope that made you feel good. Brent Lindeke, the founder of Good Things Guy. And that brings us to the end of the Midday Report for today. Quite a bit that's happening. We are keeping an eye on that Nosiviwe Mapisa Nqakula story. EWN will keep you updated on that front. But from me, Khomotso Modise, in for Mandy Wiener on the Midday Report, it's goodbye for now.